Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan, and I'm here with Trent today. And we love coming to you every week. And one of the things that we really enjoy is when we have a chance to sit down and do an interview. And we are blessed to have an interview today. So, Trent, tell us a little bit about our guest.
Well, I'm excited because today we get to visit with Kelly Pollock. Kelly and I have gotten to serve together for the last 12 years, and he's been there longer than I have. And I really appreciate that Kelly has been an incredible friend and a good, honest friend and an amazing worker. I tell you what, that guy does so much. And so today we're going to get to visit and learn more about that. So welcome, Kelly. We're glad you're here.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate what you guys do for churches and stuff. It's very encouraging, very practical stuff, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, Kelly, you have been, and maybe I've got my years wrong, but have you been at Patterson for 16 years?
I was thinking about that yesterday. I think it's 16 years on staff, and then I think I was there as a volunteer for about a year, year and a half before that. So yeah, I've been there a while.
And if I'm thinking correctly, Kelly, you have served as an intern, as a youth minister, as a music minister, and pastor as well. And is that correct?
Yeah, I started out as a summer intern and then hung around and have been there ever since, whatever they needed. Whenever we had our pastor that was called away before we got you in there, I thought, you know what, why not try this out for a little bit too? And so I wouldn't have considered myself necessarily the pastor, but I was filling the pulpit and loving the people there for a while and was really very thankful whenever we called you in and have really enjoyed serving with you since then.
Well, and so, Kelly, you had really gotten the opportunity to serve and felt called to ministry under Brother Billy. And so how did that all take place, and kind of how old were you when that took place?
Well, I grew up in kind of, I guess I'd call it the golden age of youth ministry back in the 90s, where you'd put events together and kids would kind of seem to just show up. Maybe it was harder than that from where these guys were sitting, but I grew up in church and was there all the time. In fact, I got my first speeding ticket on the way to church on a Wednesday night. And so, I mean, I was ready to get there, I guess. But having grown up in church and watching my youth pastor, like I said, Billy, he really loved on me so much. And whenever I saw the impact that did for me and other my friends and people, I was like, that looks like something that would be awesome. And so when God really spoke to me right about the time I graduated high school, I was ready to go off and get into medicine. I really liked the idea of helping people in that way. And so I was headed off to college for that. And whenever I encountered God one afternoon at a Bible study that we'd gone to out on top of a big rock hill that overlooked a private lake, we were just there and I had my Bible open and God just laid it on my heart. He said, let's do it. And he at that point called me youth ministry. We came down together as a group that had gone out there, and the guys were like, hey, Gabe, what'd you hear from God? What'd you hear? Did you something cool in the Bible? And I got to share with them that I'd basically surrendered to ministry right then and there. And it's been an amazing ride since then to get where I'm at now, but God has always been faithful to bring me along, even through my own stupidity at times.
I think we can all identify with that.
So was that a bit of a struggle for you to accept that call, or was it something that was just really easy for you to grasp?
I don't know that I could say one or the other. It was difficult because I had been raised this, hey, Kelly, you're going to college, you're going to be this, and my parents were very encouraging in that. And so I kind of had that struggle a little bit to think, well, I'm not doing whatever I thought I was going to do. But at the same time, I had an incredible peace that God was going to take care of me, that even though I wasn't going to do what I planned on doing, that God was going to take care of it. And fortunately, my grandfather had served as a music pastor my whole life. My uncle had done some of that as well, and my parents serving in church. And so I had an incredibly supportive group of family and friends around me that didn't question it, that didn't say, "Are you sure you don't want to do this?" And so it was really an easy transition, so to speak, to make that turn. The hard part was following God through college, I guess, because I was going to do this and now that. And so I ended up going to college for a little longer than I'd intended to, because finding that plan that God had for me, God really had to lead me through a lot of different steps to get there, but it's all been a blessing and all been applicable and encouraging to where he has me now.
Alan, as we talk with Kelly, one of the things I think that is really cool about Kelly, and Kelly, I want you to share with us about this, is not only does he have a heart for ministry, but he really has a heart for teaching, and that shows up in a lot of ways. And Kelly, you are also serving as a teacher at Red River Tech. And so kind of tell us a little bit about that and what you do there.
Yeah, when I was at college, like I said, trying to make my way through, I really felt like God was moving me in a direction of bivocational. I love Patterson. I love being there. And I knew at the time, or I felt like God told me at the time that, this isn't going to be a full-time position for you. You're going to need to be able to do something else. And so he led me towards teaching. And of all things, I sat down with an advisor at college and told him I was going to be a teacher. And he said, "Well, what do you want to teach?" And I said, "Well, I'd like to teach history or science." And he said, "Well, do you plan on coaching anything?" I said, "Nah, I don't really feel like I need to do that." And he said, "Well, then let's go towards science." And I kind of chuckled because I looked back at my high school experience and thought, yeah, all my history teachers were coaches. And so I started and I thought, wow, what an interesting dichotomy that is, because, I grew up, thinking that, science and church were kind of at odds with each other. But the more deeply I got into science and the more deeply I got into God's word, the more I realized how in agreement they are. And so that was a real blessing for me. And so as I graduated college with my teaching degree, I went straight to work at the high school. And then, like you said, I moved over into career tech and started in health careers. And then now I'm a biomedical science teacher. And I still, as I dive more deeply into the subject matter, still finding God everywhere that I've looked in all of that. And so it's been a real blessing to be with students all the time. I feel like I never got out of high school in a lot of ways, but it's been really good to me to be able to teach in a lot of different formats, and then to look at people that I really admire as teachers and then try to follow in being a good communicator. I want to handle God's word correctly. I want to handle the subject matter I teach at school well, and I want to be able to have the people who are in front of me grasp and understand and fall in love with the Jesus that I serve and the subject matter that I teach.
Kelly, one of the things I think we're going to see continue as a trend in churches is a move toward more and more bivocational ministers, not just a youth ministry, but pastors, family ministers, you name it. What would you say to someone who's contemplating ministry and doesn't know what that would look like as far as preparing for the possibility of maybe being bivocational after your experience with that?
I would encourage people to dive into it, because if they feel like God's leading them that way and he opens up a door for that, then I think you walk through it and enjoy what God has for you. I've joked and said that there's really no such thing as a part-time pastor or part-time youth minister, but because of the things that go along with ministry, but God has always provided me the time and the energy that I've needed to do both. And so I think as long as the person dives in as a faithful servant, then they will find the blessing is just incredible as a bivocational minister. But on the other hand, I would also say that when I talk to my full-time friends And I get jealous sometimes of the time that they have to spend doing some of the things that I would like to do. And so there'll be a little bit of a struggle in that. But as long as you're where God wants you at the time, then you'll experience the blessings he has for you there.
Kelly, I appreciate that you have walked through that door of opportunity, and you've had, I think, more impact because you have been a teacher and then also working with our youth. And Kelly, you've been working with the youth and had an amazing impact at Patterson for a long time. And so I want to take just a little bit of time and get you to share with us, some changes that you've seen in students and youth over the years. How have they changed?
Well, I think kids have changed along with the cultural changes. But one thing that's been so consistent is there's still kids who want to know people care about them. They want to know that they matter and they're important to you. And one of the things that I've seen that has definitely been a good change is that they want to know that we see them as capable of doing, not just participating. It seems like when I first started in ministry, there were a lot of students that were content to show up and participate. Whereas now they want to do more. To sit and listen for an hour is sometimes a struggle. And so I've seen where I need to transition down to shorten up some things so that we can spend the time together sitting down. Early on in ministry, I was go, 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 and the kids were go, go, go as well. And I realized that as my body has slowed me down a little bit, we talk about how long I've been in this, that I need that time to just sit down across from some of them as well and just get to know them and know their strengths and hear their struggles. I've had also had to keep in my mind that they are still kids. My wife keeps me grounded. A lot of times, after I've been in this, like you said, I want to dive deeply into things because I've been in it a long time. I have to realize that these aren't the same people that I started with 16 years ago. This is a whole new set of people, and I need to go back and make sure that they can understand the basics of knowing Jesus and being in God's word and things. And so it's always been and will always continue to be, I think, very relational. But I've had to be a lot more intentional, I think, lately more recently with the kids about them knowing that I care about them beyond them being in a seat at church.
Kelly, you talk about you grew up kind of in the golden age of youth ministry in the 80s and 90s. Certainly, I think in most churches, I think youth ministry was the tail wagging the dog, so to speak, with a lot of churches. A lot of big events. You mentioned all the big events. Have you noticed, or have you, as times are changing and as people are changing, have you noticed that the students seem to crave maybe a smaller type event versus the larger type event, something that's more intimate versus something that's kind of way over the top?
I think so. And it's harder to plan those things, I think, in a lot of ways. It's easy to order a bunch of pizza and have a bunch of Mountain Dew and set up a volleyball net and enjoy spending time with them. But then they've got to trust you enough to sit down in those smaller events, which, again, a lot of times takes time because I feel like kids can still see right through a facade that adults will try to put up sometimes. And so I do believe that they are craving that more small, intimate setting, but at the same time, there's pushback from that because they're not sure who to trust, how to trust adults in their lives and to be a mentor versus just being a friend.
Kelly, you've had the opportunity. I was just thinking about some of the young people, young guys especially, that have graduated from our school and been a part of our youth ministry that are now serving as ministers as well. Is that exciting to you to get to be in contact with them and watch them to do ministry on their own?
I think that may be one of the greatest blessings that I've experienced as a minister is to be able to have had students that went through ministry that I was involved in, and they want to be a part of a ministry and now leading their own ministries. It's neat to have kids that I've gone through my youth group that have come back to church, and now they're adults there, and they are still practicing and leading their families in Jesus' name. But the ones that I have out there that are serving as full-time or part-time, those are a real blessing to see that I didn't totally ruin them, for one thing, or that, you know, the events that we did weren't just a ton of fun, but these guys did grab a hold and took hold of the calling that God had on their lives. And so, yeah, that may be the greatest blessing that I've had as a youth pastor, is to see students that I've ministered to go on to be ministers.
Well, what warnings would you share with some of these young ministers? Maybe not even the ones you have, but if you were starting out again, what warnings would you wish you had been issued?
Oh man, how much time do we have? Plenty of time. Okay. I was really contemplating this as a thought. Whenever, what would I tell younger me? Whenever I started out in ministry, and I think one of the primary things I would want someone to tell me is, don't let your zeal outrun good judgment. Mm-hmm. I was so zealous to do and to be the person that the students would look up to, that sometimes I let my zeal outrun good judgment. And in a lot of ways, one, it would be in the way that I looked at and viewed people that had been in ministry a long time, because in a lot of ways I viewed those old guys as being out of touch. And what I've realized now is they weren't out of touch. They were just knew way more than I did and knew when to be quiet. I did not know when to be quiet at the time. And so I think that the wisdom of the Spirit that's in us, the wisdom that comes from the scripture that we read, and the wisdom that comes from our pastors or mentors should definitely guide our decision-making as young ministers more than a desire to fill up a youth room.
I think those are great, great things to keep in mind. And as you know, Kelly, you and I have gotten to visit a whole lot of times. And one thing I've appreciated about you is your honesty with me as a pastor. And I guess I would like to say to youth ministers, don't think that you can't speak into the life and encourage your pastor, and share honestly and truthfully about things that you see. You know, Kelly, you mentioned that older guys, you know, they have some wisdom, but I think sometimes youth ministers, you have wisdom as well, especially dealing with younger people, that we need to keep in mind.
Yeah, I love the energy of young ministers. And I hope I still tap into that every now and again. But sometimes we do need those crazy ideas that come from that zeal. And I've been fortunate to have a supportive pastor in Trent to be able to help me think through some ideas. That's one of the most encouraging things, I think, is I have been the beneficiary of having supportive pastors who've led me as I've been through ministry. Those are the most valuable things, I think. I don't know, obviously, that I would still be in ministry if I had some of the horror stories that I've heard from some of my youth ministry friends. And so it has been a really good thing. I've been able to go through this long haul because of the people who've loved and supported me along the way. And so we've got to find those people. And I've been fortunate that God's placed those people really just right beside me every time I needed them.
Well, you know, Kelly, I think that's something, a word for pastors out there too, is that when you bring on someone to do a staff position, whether that's a youth minister or worship pastor or whatever role that is, I think you need to bring them on with the idea that you're going to trust them to do the job. And it doesn't mean that you don't have mentorship or you don't sit down and talk about things, but you need to let them do the job. I've seen a lot of pastors who maybe made a step. Maybe they at one time were a youth minister and then they become a pastor, and then they want to micromanage their youth minister and have them do it the way that they used to do it. And it'll never work out that way. And so I think it's really important for us pastors to remember, when you bring in an associate, you need to give them the freedom to be themselves and to do the job the way that they see best to do it.
That is absolutely true. Need to pass that word on to several of my youth pastor friends that are serving under former youth pastors, for sure. I think churches can be tough regardless, because experts in your field abound every time they don't like what you're doing. But oftentimes volunteers can be scarce when you need them. And so, you know, those so-called experts are tough to work through and around and with sometimes. But you're right. I've appreciated the trust that I was given to do ministry in the way that I felt like I was being called to do it in, while at the same time having a mentor that was there to bounce things off of and to help guide and steer me.
Kelly, I had a guy like that for me. His name was Roy Cornegie. He was my, first full-time, when I was doing college ministry, he was my boss as the director of missions. And he told me, I remember the first meeting that I had with him, he said, "I consider you to be the expert in this area. If you need my help, I'm there for you, and I'll support you." But he said, "I consider you the expert in the area." And so that, to me, that was the model that I wanted to have. And I appreciated Roy being that for me. And I would encourage pastors, you know, be that, let your youth ministers, other ministers have that also that encouragement, say, "I consider you to be the expert in this area."
Yeah, Roy Cornegie was a special man. He was a good one.
Yeah, I think one of the most special things that a lot of our mentors can give us sometimes is the opportunity to fail too. I've learned so much from some of the things that I've done. I've always been protected from doing things that are incredibly stupid that would have harmed me or the church. But sometimes, like, you know, some of our big ideas and zeal, we learn more from just stepping out there and those mentors letting us try it, give it a go. And then if it doesn't work, then we regroup and talk about it some more and make it better the next time.
Well, speaking of trying and maybe failing, we're getting ready to start back as we're recording this. You know, a lot of churches are struggling with what does ministry look like as we are in this COVID area, this COVID time. And so, Kelly, talk to us a little bit about your thoughts about how has this whole last 2 months changed ministry for you?
It's changed in a way where I really have always enjoyed the time that I get to spend with students, and not being able to spend that time together has made it difficult. And as I've spoken with my youth ministry buddies in the area, trying to figure out how are they maintaining contact, how are they maintaining those relationships, and it's been a struggle across the board. Even, you know, thinking about things like the social media outlets that students are using, they're still reluctant to use those things sometimes to maintain relationships than with church. But it's been interesting how it has brought me to understand, I think, the students that were most interested in drawing one step closer to Jesus, like we say every Wednesday night and on Sundays at church, the ones that really are interested in that have maintained those relationships. I've started doing Bible study plans on the YouVersion app with students, and we actually just started doing that within the last couple months before all this had started. We'd done a Bible plan, and I'd friended all of them that wanted to, and that gives me the opportunity to be able to say, "Hey, you know what, I see such and such is really doing well. They're going through these things, and they're commenting, and we're able to be encouraged by each other's comments." And so that has been a good thing. But then at the same time, you know, whenever you talk about how many were there on Wednesday night, I realize how much I was missing out on as far as students that were just there for the fellowship time. And I understand that's always going to be the case. And I want those kids there at church as much as they can be, or as much as they want to be. but that I need to be working towards drawing them in to that group that really wants to draw one step closer to Jesus. The difficult thing in this time was figuring out how to do that, and I don't know that I've found any way. I've tried several different methods to maintain contact through different communication apps, and it's been a real struggle keeping up with some of them. But the thing that's been encouraging is how many of them have still taken hold and followed in and jumped in with the things we're doing and participating in the online versions that we're offering. And then how many of them have shown up to the things that we've done as far as like drive-in church recently and stuff. And so it's been a difficult transition, but as I've spoken with and talked to other youth pastors, it's been a pretty universal thing that they are struggling as well with maintaining that contact with students, because like I said earlier, they are so very relational.
Well, what do you see yourself doing differently as y'all start to prepare to open back up? How do you think some of the things that you've read about or heard about, or what are some of the ideas that you're going to be employing to move forward?
Well, I'm gonna continue to try to encourage these guys to interact with each other through the Bible app. Try to get more of them to do it, not just to click it and read the verse of the day, but to go through the plans with us. And when we get back together, I plan on making sure that they have a very large stick and try to beat them off of each other so that we don't end up spreading this virus more so than need be. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what it's going to look like when we do get to get back together, because I've been hoping and praying that they have that desire to be together more so, because we had been through this routine for so long and where we get together for this, we get together for this, and then we're off, then we get together for that. And I'm really looking forward to trying to design maybe some of those smaller environments that we were talking about to do a little more of that small group discipleship, the more of the if you want to call it Sunday school style, if you will, but where we're in circles instead of the rows. And so if we're limited, like I think we will be to a certain extent on how many people can be in places, then I'm looking forward to the challenge of getting these guys eyeball to eyeball, where they can see and encourage each other and be encouraged by me and the other adult leaders that we have investing in them at church.
Yeah, I love how you say you're just going to embrace the challenge, because that's exactly what it is. Whether it's our churches getting back together, you know, I've been on a call about how do we have summer cross country practice for my high school cross country team. How do we pull that off? And we're putting a proposal together for our county health person to look at. This is how we want to handle that. It's a lot of things to think about. And how do we keep people safe, keep our community safe, but also how do we effectively minister? And like you said, I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of good answers. And I think everything that we come up with is subject to change on a moment's notice.
That's absolutely true. I think that we will have the benefit of some of the tools that we've had to develop and the creativity that the leaderships of every church has had to come up with to try to maintain a type of fellowship. But in the end, we're still trying to introduce people to the love of Jesus. We're trying to encourage them to be a part of a fellowship. We're challenging them to interact with God's word. And then we're challenging them to actively communicate with God through prayer. And those things, it's odd. It's the things that they've been telling me my whole life as far as being a part of a church family and being a follower of Jesus. And those things aren't going to change regardless of what's going on in the world around us. And those things, I think, are just as much or more needed now than they were a couple months ago.
Kelly, I appreciate that you have the same heart, I think, that Alan and I do, and that you've invested in a lot of people, not just young people and not just youth, but Kelly also teaches a senior adult Sunday school class. And so I appreciate your heart, and that's the heart that Alan and I have is to invest in others and help them to grow and to last. And so, Kelly, I just want to say thank you very much for taking time to be a part of this with us today.
Man, I appreciate you guys having me. It's been a real blessing to listen to the practical advice and things that and the you guys heart that you guys have shared. And so I'm glad to have been a small part of it with you guys.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time today. And we also appreciate all our listeners out there. Thank you for taking time to be a part of our Enduring Churches podcast. And we just want you to know that we are here for you. These are trying times, and anything we can do to come alongside and help you out, coaching, consulting, any which way we can be of help to your church, we want to see you endure. So continue to follow us and follow our podcast. Go to our website, check us out there at enduringchurches.com. But we would love to connect with you. And we look forward to having you back on our next episode.